More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, when love is hard. In a difficult relationship, struggling to love a difficult person, we'll explore what it means to be loving, even when someone makes it hard. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, when love is hard. And when isn't it?
Well, there are many times it's not hard. But then there are times that it is, and it really throws us off kilter because we think it's not supposed to be. And it's so hard, and we don't know what to do about it. And often, we'll have a great priest, a priest we think is awesome, or some person that we think is very spiritually savvy compared to us, and they'll just say, well, love is a cross to bear. And we think that means that when it's hard, somehow that just morphs us into being saintly if we put up with it. And that's what love being hard means, is that we tolerate it, we put up with it, we just suffer.
But it's more complicated than that.
I mean, really
there are times when love requires us to bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. Those are two important spiritual works of mercy. But then there are other times where we need to, you know, admonish the sinner, which is also a spiritual work of mercy, and set boundaries and do other things that love requires of us. So we're asking you today, are you in a relationship with somebody where the relationship itself is difficult, or you're dealing with a difficult situation in the relationship, or the person is difficult to love? We want to explore what it means to be loving, even when someone makes it hard. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So we're asking you today, are you in a difficult relationship, whether it's with your spouse or a child, a parent, a sibling, a friend, where you actually feel stuck because everything that you can think to do or say will either hurt them or leave you feeling frustrated and resentful? Are you struggling to know whether you're actually loving someone or just trying not to rock the boat? Is there a relationship that you've been praying about for a long time, but you're not sure what God is asking you to do about it? Let us help you get clarity so that you can know what to do or say when love is hard.
877-573-7825. And the things we're going to share with you today, I think, really bring a lot of clarity. Because I have this conversation, of course, a lot with the clients at CatholicCounselors.com, who are all genuinely trying to love as Christ calls us to love. But you know, are in situations with their spouse that are difficult to manage, or a child who they love deeply, but who is really struggling. And it can be hard to know what to do there. The principles we're going to share with you, I think, snap things into focus and really make it a lot clearer. But, of course, it's one thing to talk about these principles in the abstract. It's another thing to actually apply them in your life.
Right.
So, you know, if you have a challenging relationship where you're in a relationship with someone you care about but who can be difficult to love, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, Greg, I think it's interesting because you were talking about admonishing the sinner and just the spiritual works of mercy. And I think a lot of us, especially right now, there seems to be a theme on social media among Christians in general, whether it's Christian couples or singles who are looking for, you know, how they should live out their faith in the world, there's a very weighted load of living out the corporal works of mercy. You know, for a lot of young women right now, they're hearing, you know, if you just bake that banana bread, if you just cook a good meal, if you just, you know, everybody is dressed well and the family looks good when they leave the house, you know, feed the hungry, give drink, clothe the naked. And those are hard enough to do. You know, there's that pressure of let me do it and let me do it really well. Most of us are never tutored in the importance of the spiritual works of mercy. We think if we do A, B, and C with the corporal works of mercy, we feed the poor, we'll be fine. These relationships should work out because we're doing the right physical, temporal things. And then when it doesn't, when somebody is hard to love, when we're feeling drained by a relationship, most of us don't know when to bear wrongs patiently, when to admonish a sinner, how to do that in a way that connects each of us with God instead of, you know, not just berate somebody. But the real holiness and often relational connection comes in those spiritual works of mercy where we join ourselves with God and go deeper in that relationship so that we can get that connection and move us both closer to each other and to God.
All good points. But well, and let's snap it into focus right now. In fact, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, how could some theology help me handle situations where I'm trying to love a difficult person or know what it means to be loving in a difficult relationship? Actually, you know, the theology of the body has a lot to say about that. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. He basically said, you know, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about living an abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships with others? And his answer to that question became what we and all people now call the theology of the body. And so one of the most important things the theology of the body teaches us is that love is not the same as sentiment. You know, sentiment is all about feelings, yours and mine. And when sentiment is driving the bus, we can feel paralyzed in difficult relationships because every option seems bad. You know, either we upset the other person or we end up frustrated ourselves. There's just no good move on the board. But love gives us a bigger lens through which to see relationship problems and find solutions. So love, like sentiment, certainly considers feelings. It doesn't go out of its way to wound or offend people, but love is primarily concerned with one question. What do I need to do or say to be my best self and to bring out the best in the other person? That's it. That's the whole game right there. But here's where the struggle is, right? Growth is good, but it's rarely comfortable. Sometimes doing or saying what is objectively the most loving thing will make another person feel frustrated or sad or even angry. As long as those feelings are the normal friction that accompanies growth in virtue, rather than a sign that we're asking something unhealthy of that person, true Christian love is really okay with that discomfort. It doesn't confuse this person is upset with I did something wrong.
Yeah, and this is especially important with difficult people, because difficult people tend not to be so emotionally healthy. And appealing to emotion to figure out whether we're doing the right thing is like saying, it's a fool's errand, let's say that. We have to ask the harder question, what does genuine love require here with this person in this situation?
You know, St. Paul reminds us, bad company ruins good morals. Sometimes love means holding firm even when it costs us the relationship, and that's never an easy thing to do. But even Jesus asserts, you know, in Matthew 5:30, that it's better to let someone go than to be dragged down trying to preserve something that's more committed to pursuing sin and dysfunction than to health and holiness. The rule for dealing with difficult people and difficult relationships is the same rule as anything else. Love. What does it mean for me to be my best self in this situation and do what I reasonably can to bring out the best in them too? All right. So, again, sounds great in theory, and I think that that can snap a lot of things into focus, especially when I'm, you know, walking with clients through this. It really does help them see pretty clearly what they need to do, but it can be hard to figure out how to apply these general principles in your specific circumstances, and that's why we want you to call in, 877-573-7825. Let's talk it out together, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring those relationships that we have with people we care about but who are difficult to love for one reason or another, or those relationships that are difficult in general. Help us to not get caught up in basing our decisions about what to do or say on sentiment, on the worry about will we make them feel bad or will we make them feel good or what will make us feel good or bad, but instead to decide what to do or say based on what is truly loving, what truly enables us to be our best selves and to do what we reasonably can to bring out the best in the other people in the relationship. Help us to realize that relationships for Christians aren't about going along to get along, but rather cooperating with your grace to build your kingdom by showing what true Christian love looks like in action. And help us to have the courage to follow that love where you lead us. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, when love is hard. Are you in a difficult relationship? Struggling to love a difficult person? We're exploring what it means to be loving, even when someone makes it hard. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our first caller of the day who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma on Oklahoma Catholic Radio.
Hey there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. I'm getting ready to travel with my three grandkids. They're 12, 9, and 7, boy, girl, boy, with my daughter and her husband. It's a long trip from Texas to Tennessee. And the communication has not been there for a few years now with my daughter. She used to call, now she doesn't, and I don't know why. And she, if I try to confront her, she withdraws. So I don't know how, you know, but when we get together, it's like everything's fine, like nothing's wrong, you know. It's like, so I'm just wanting to navigate.
So she's going on vacation with you?
Well, it's my brother's birthday, and we're going up to Tennessee, and she's going, it's his 80th birthday, so we're going up there to Tennessee, yes.
Mm-hmm. And she did this willingly, like you didn't have to twist your arm or anything. I'm just trying to understand the relationship here.
Well, just the logistics of getting, they're going to miss school, and she didn't want to miss another day by picking me up because I'm not that far away. And, you know, and so anyway, I'm going to travel by bus like 7 hours plus and then a very long drive after that to get there with them. Yes.
You know, no, okay, no. I mean, I understand about the trip, but I guess I'm asking about the relationship. Like, what you're describing is a strained relationship, right? Where she's
there's something wrong.
A strained relationship with somebody, they don't often go on a long trip with you. So I'm trying to understand how this trip came to be. Like, did you have to twist your arm to go with you? Is she willing to do this?
It's like nothing, you know. It's like old, you know. It's okay. Like, it's okay when we get together, but ongoing.
So, what are you looking for from her that she's not giving you, though?
I love the communication.
I don't know what that means. Does that mean that she calls you more? Like what concretely speaking?
Yeah. Well, but,
how would you know if
that? Shut down the calling. Period. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now she shut down the calling because So here's the question: is she just a super busy mom trying to get through the day?
She is.
And
I understand that part, yes.
Or are you getting a sense of resentment or there's a particular issue that you kind of know is there, but you can't get her to address?
Yes, correct. Well, both. I would say both of those that you're saying. Yes.
When did the relationship change at some point?
Well, that's what it felt. It happened, yes. So she lost her father 4 years ago, but I think it was may have started before that. I don't know. It's like a mystery for me.
No,
you know.
Well, right. But just stick with me here. So you said that the relationship did change. There was a point where you guys were closer than you are now. When did that change?
Well, in the communication department, where there was calling, you know, communication in that regard, ongoing.
Yes.
You know,
and when did that stop? How long ago?
It's been at least 4 years. It kind of went slow. It slowly, not abruptly stopped, but like a slower pace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4 years.
And you said when she lost her father, this was her husband, ex-husband?
Yes, my husband.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so around that time, can you think of anything that you might have done or said that might have caused her to feel animosity toward you or frustration with you around your husband's death?
Not that I can tell, because that's what I'm saying. She doesn't show it, and they did the music for the funeral. They helped me plan it big time, and they were all a big part of it.
Okay, and I'll offer some thoughts. Your last question, though. So when you've give me an example of how you've tried to address it with her and what's happened.
Since
she shuts down, but give me an example of what you said.
Just say, oh, why don't you call your mom? Call me, you know. I'll say those words, no response, you know, and then the calls don't happen.
Okay, well, that's not addressing the problem. That's telling her what you want her to do. So let's talk about how to address the problem. I want you to say to her, hey, look, you know, I really love you, and I've noticed that you've been pulling back in our relationship, and I'm not sure why, and I'm really sorry if I've done anything to kind of push you away, but I miss you, and I'd really like to figure out how we could work through this so that it feels good to call me, and it feels good to have a better relationship with me, because right now it feels more like you feel obliged to be with me, and I don't want you to feel that way toward me, and I want to work out whatever it is that we need to work out for you to feel better. You know, being around me. And so, you know, I want you to know that I'm willing to hear whatever it is that you have to say to me. I'm willing to really listen if you have any concerns or questions. And by the way, your job in all of this, once you extend that invitation, is to listen, not explain or defend yourself. There will be a time for that. But initially, what you want to do is make it safe for her to be honest with you about her feelings and her frustrations, about whatever it is that she needs to confide in you. Because if we as parents of adult kids aren't willing to hear what their frustrations are, especially if we don't think it's fair, you know. And look, again, we have adult kids ourselves. I get it, right? You know, sometimes they see things differently than we do. They have a different lens, and it's hard to sometimes see ourselves through that lens. But we need to be willing to hear that. And really respect it, to let them know that it's safe for them to be honest with us. And then we can kind of come back and say, well, you know, that's really interesting. Now moving forward, how could I support you? Or moving forward, how could we make sure to avoid those pitfalls in the future? Right? So, but the first step isn't, hey, call your mom. The first step is, hey, I've noticed that you've been pulling back. What's going on? And I get the feeling that there's something between us that maybe you don't feel safe or comfortable sharing with me. And, you know, I want you to know that I'm really willing to listen to whatever it is that your concerns are or your frustrations are, because I love you and I don't want anything to come between us. And so if I've done something, I am sorry, but more importantly, I want to hear what it is. And I want to hear what your thoughts and concerns and frustrations are. Right. So you're addressing your problem. The fact that you know she's not calling you as much, but you're not addressing the problem, which is the fact that there's something emotionally coming between you and your daughter that hasn't been addressed. So I want you to focus in on that. Now, I want to give you a resource to help you help guide that conversation and what comes after. Our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, is available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But if you check that out, we'll have additional suggestions beyond what we offered you here. If you'd like somebody to walk with you through this, you can always reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I'd suggest running with the suggestions we've made here, and if you need those additional supports, they're there for you. Again, that's Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, which you can get at CatholicCounselors.com. And while you're there, check out more about the pastoral counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. 877-573-7825. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about those times when love is hard. If you're dealing with a difficult relationship, we're trying to love a difficult person. Let us talk about what it means to be loving, even when someone else makes it hard. More after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Birksivers here. And I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, when love is hard. We're talking about those times when you're trying to love someone who is difficult or know what it means to be loving in a difficult relationship. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our faith-based program in performance excellence and works with Catholic athletes, performers, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Well, it's great to be here.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what are some common traps that people fall into when they're dealing with a difficult relationship?
One of the most common traps that I see people get into is getting stuck in people-pleasing mode. And most people don't realize, but people-pleasing is actually a threat response, because when a relationship feels tense or emotionally unsafe or uncertain in some way, our brain immediately shifts into, how do I keep this person happy to stay okay? And in that mode, we then stop asking what's healthy, and we start asking what's just going to keep the peace. And that's when we start to lose ourselves. We start over-functioning, over-explaining, over-accommodating, while slowly abandoning our own needs and our own boundaries and our own voice, really. So in order to get out of that cycle, you need to stop trying to manage them and start taking responsibility for you. You remind yourself, I'm not responsible for their mood, their reactions, or their behavior, but I am responsible for how I show up, what I allow, and the choices that I make. So instead of asking, what do they need from me right now? You need to shift to, what am I doing right now? What do I actually need? What would healthy look like here? And that shift can really change everything for us, because now we're no longer operating out of fear. We're operating out of a greater sense of empowerment. And from that place, we can then set boundaries. We can speak up for ourselves. We can even step back from a relationship if we need to, not to punish the other person, because, but because, like, maybe that's what is good for both of us to create a healthier and more respectful dynamic. People pleasing keeps us stuck in reaction, but when we shift to self-responsibility, it allows us to build relationships that are actually healthy and sustainable and capable of growth.
This is fascinating, and I think that, you know, as you're saying this, the picture I get in my mind is when we go into that people-pleasing mode, we're really going to into a very childlike place, right? Where we could be full-grown adults, and we get into that situation with that other person, whomever that is, and suddenly our brain is saying, no, we just have to be the good kid. We just have to make mom and dad happy. We just have to get through this, and that'll allow us to survive in some way another day in a peaceful way. So what's a first or second baby step that somebody can take when they realize they're going into that kind of I just have to be safe mode and they want to become that empowered person you're talking about? What's the first or second thing they can do?
I think it's really important to kind of recognize that, right? So kind of going back to that question of, you know, how am I showing up right now? So that we can kind of name it, which allows us to sort of claim it, if you will, right? And we can recognize, hold on a second, I am an adult. I am capable. Mm-hmm. You know, also, a side note, a lot, like you're saying, a lot of us were taught as kids to be responsible for other people's feelings, to be responsible for our parents' feelings. You know, so just recognizing, too, that, hey, this is something I was taught, but also that was unhealthy, too. So I don't have to continue that pattern, because it's keeping me stuck in that cycle of powerlessness. I am capable, Rachel, and what do I need to take care of myself here as well?
Amen. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel's good work at CatholicCounselors.com, learn more about the faith-based program and performance excellence that she directs there at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls right now. The topic, when love is hard. Are you in a difficult relationship? Struggling to love a difficult person? Give us a call. Let's talk about what it means. 877-573-7825.
He is honored by the church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Did you know that research shows that married couples who find time to connect in meaningful ways tend to be happier and more resilient? It's not just about going out for a date now and then. It's about connecting in simple, ordinary ways on a daily and weekly basis. It's about finding ways to work, play, talk, and pray together instead of individually. For example, when couples choose to make a meal or clean up the kitchen together, That experience can nurture a sense of teamwork and collaboration that spills over into other areas of their relationship. Couples can connect by regularly doing something fun together, too. It doesn't need to be big. It might be as simple as reading a book together or taking an interest in one another's hobbies. As small as these rituals of connection might seem, over time, they create a deep, solid foundation for any marriage. They create the time couples need to share experiences, relate on a deeper level, and build a shared life together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you would like to find faithful help with your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today's show, When Love is Hard. We're talking about those times when you're trying to love somebody who may be a little difficult, either in general, or is being difficult about a particular situation, or those times when we just don't know what it means to be loving in a difficult relationship. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Tell us, are you in a difficult relationship with a spouse, a child, a parent, a sibling, or friend, where you feel a little stuck because everything you can think to do or say will either hurt them or anger them or leave you feeling frustrated and resentful? Maybe you're struggling to know whether you're actually loving someone or just trying not to rock the boat. Is there a relationship you've been praying about for a while and you're not sure what God is asking you to do about it? Look, we want to help you get the clarity you need to know what to do or say when love is hard. 877-573-7825.
We have a question here, Greg, from Mary Beth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania. And she said, I'm hoping you can help me find my footing in my marriage. Because honestly, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells and I'm not sure how much longer I can keep doing it. My husband, in so many ways, is a genuinely good man. He works hard, he provides for us, and he goes out of his way to do loving things for me and our three children. But there's another side of him that I'm struggling with. Whenever I, or one of the kids, tries to raise a concern, or if I gently suggest that he could have handled a situation differently, he explodes. He accuses me of disrespecting him, of trying to take over, of not honoring him as the head of the family. The conversation stops being about whatever the actual issue was and becomes about defending himself. What makes it so confusing is that the things he does for us are almost always things he decided we needed, things he's comfortable giving. When we ask for something that pushes outside his comfort zone, that's when the defensiveness comes out. I can see it affecting our kids, too. Our older two have started going quiet around him. They love their dad, but they're learning not to bring things to him. My friends in Bible study tell me he's trying his best, and I need to stop criticizing him. I don't want to criticize him. I want to connect with him. But I'm starting to shut down emotionally, and I don't know how to reach him without setting him off. Is there a loving way forward here, or am I the problem? And that's from Mary Beth.
Well, Mary Beth, thank you so much for the question, and I can tell that you have a beautiful heart, and you really want to do what's loving here. And I think this is a good illustration of what we were talking about in our reflection on the theology of the body today, that there's a difference between sentiment and love. And this is where it's hard to be loving, because, you know, where you get caught up in the sentiment piece of it is where you're saying, you know, I wonder if there's a way to address this without setting him off, because there really isn't, unfortunately. You know, to love him really does mean to lovingly, to gently challenge him to be his best self, and for you to be your best self too. And I think in this situation, if you really prayed about it, you'd see that being your best self in this situation means being that strong, prophetic woman of God who can lovingly stand up for the sake of your kids and for your own sake and for your husband's sake, to say to him, honey, I love you and I realize you're trying to do your best. I'm not the enemy here, and neither are the kids, but you're treating us like we are. And I need you to be able to hear what God is saying to you through me and the kids. And of course he'll say, well, so you're now you're God now. You're some oracle that's going to tell me what the... Like, no, what I'm saying is that we need to listen to each other. And you're only willing to listen to us as far as your comfort zone goes. And that's not okay. You know, I love you and I realize that you're doing a lot of things to try to love us. But loving really means listening. And leading from a place of listening. And you really struggle with that. And I want to help you get better. And if you don't think we can work this out together, then I'll make an appointment with somebody who can help us. But this isn't okay. Your behavior, again, I know you're coming from a good place, but your behavior is hardening my heart to you, and it's driving our children away from you. And I love you too much to let that go on any longer. So either we can work this out with you and I, or we can work this out with a counselor, but we're going to work it out. Because I love you too much to let this continue any longer, because it's poisoning the family. That is what love requires of you in this situation. And I'd love for you to download the podcast so that you can kind of play that little speech over and over again. You don't have to use my words. You can use your own. It's better to use your own words. But the message has to be there. And, you know, and don't say something like it. Right, because I'll coach clients through something like this, and then I'll say, did you say this to your spouse? And they, well, I said something like it, and I said, well, tell me what you said. Like I said, well, I said, you know, you're a little mean sometimes, and I wish you'd stop. It's like, well, that's not at all what I suggest you say. You need to kind of use the framework here. Because
saying I just wish you'd stop is not prophetic. It doesn't lead to anything. It doesn't come from a place of godly strength. And unfortunately, and Greg, you tell me what you think here. I think this kind of unfortunate situation she's in with her husband is really a growing phenomenon right now because of some things that are going on in social media that are just kind of misconstruing.
Well, there's the whole kind of the trad wife influencers, and there's the manosphere, and there's a lot of confusion about what headship actually looks like. And headship, and in fact, I've done a series of reels on this, if folks would like to follow it, at Catholic Counselors on Instagram. Headship is not about bossing our wife and kids around. It's about setting the tone for service and spirituality in the home. It's my job to be the head of the home is very much like the way the priest is quote unquote the head at Mass, right? The priest celebrates the liturgy of the Eucharist in a way that makes the common holy and leads all of the congregation into a deeper relationship with God. As in my common priesthood that I receive in baptism, it's my job to exercise that headship in the home where I'm doing the same thing. I'm leading the charge to make the common holy by inserting a little bit of Christ's sacrificial love into everything I do, to love my wife and my children, and to take point on bringing my family closer to God by inviting all of us to pray about the decisions that we have to make.
Together.
Yeah. By setting up time to listen. To give everybody the space they need to express their thoughts and concerns. You know, this is true for leadership in general, but especially in Christian households. But you know, I've served on different boards over the years, mm-hmm. And if you're the chairman of the board, you don't dictate the agenda for the board. You facilitate the conversation by which decisions happen. And to be the chairman of the board in your household, you don't boss your wife and kids around. You establish the environment where productive, prayerful conversations can happen and decisions can be made together. So, and this is not a new, by the way, vision of headship in Catholicism.
Not
I mean,
at
going all.
All
the way back to St. Ambrose talks about, you know, and St. John Paul cites him in Familiaris Consortio, where, you know, somebody was complaining to St. Ambrose about how his wife didn't listen to him. not St. Ambrose's wife, but you know, this guy's
this
wife.
This guy, yeah.
And he was like, so what if your wife doesn't listen to you? Serve. Love her. You know, the point is, it's not about bossing people around. It's about loving and serving and leading your family to Christ. That's what headship looks like. In a sense, it's more liturgical than it is hierarchical. And so what you're talking about here, Mary Beth, is your husband is, I mean, he means well. I believe that with all of my heart. But he's wounded, and he learned growing up that it wasn't okay to ever be wrong. And so he is using spiritual resources to defend himself instead of using those spiritual resources to build relationship in the home and facilitate greater connection between you, the kids, and God.
And to really experience deeply what it means to be a man of God, serving as Christ served, serving as Christ's disciples served, in a place of authority, but in a place of loving service, rather than puffing oneself up, making oneself into an idol in the situation. And it's very important that we have that mutual service and sacramentality in our marriage, instead of the very secular and now kind of painted with a broad Christian brush idea of somebody's got to be the boss and everybody else has to serve. And then the whole world's been working out who should be the boss for all of these years since the fall, where I should be, no, you should be, the woman should have all these rights and privileges and power, no, the man should, instead of being in mutual self-donation and love.
Well, yeah, and you know, going back to St. Paul, you know, Ephesians 5:21 says that husbands and wives should submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that the man doesn't have a specific role to play. In fact, St. Paul goes in to discuss all that. I'm not going to get into it now. But the point being that Christ is the head of your home, right? And so your husband, if he wants to exercise his headship properly, your husband is leading you all to Christ, not setting himself up as this sort of idol that everybody has to tiptoe around.
Yeah.
Right. So if you'd like more resources on that, my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, really unpacks this. Catholic Home as well, our app where we provide coaching and creative resources to really help couples more successfully build those loving, caring, connected domestic churches. But also, if you need more personalized support, then our resources through CatholicCounselors.com could be a great help to you. Thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, I hope you reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com or through Catholic HOM. All right, we got to go to break, but as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians 4:15.
By speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, Christ.
So, you know, St. Paul here is really emphasizing the point we were making, or I guess we were emphasizing the point St. Paul makes, earlier in the conversation here, where we're talking about not getting caught up in what sentiment tells us, but rather doing what love requires of us, to speak the truth in love, to be our best selves in the situation, to do and say what we reasonably can to bring out the best in another person by always speaking the truth in love. That is how our relationships begin to reflect the body of Christ. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about those times when love is hard. If you're in a difficult relationship or struggling to love a difficult person, let's explore what it means to be loving. 877-573-7825.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the Rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled When Love is Hard. Are you in a difficult relationship or struggling to love a difficult person? We're exploring what it means to be loving even when someone makes it hard. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Christine, welcome to More to Life. What's going on? Christine, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm sorry. I just had a question. My husband is almost 60, and he served the divorce papers. I have 5 children at home, and my oldest son is becoming a priest. And I'm not quite sure how to handle having him at home in this circumstances. Thank you.
Well, wait, before, don't go away.
Yeah, there's a lot to ask you here.
So, Were you surprised to get these divorce papers? Was this something that's been developing for a while? What's going on?
Yeah, no, this has been developing for a while, and I'm still waiting to hear from my lawyer. But in the meantime, it's he's very agitated and angry, and I've been trying to just not agitate him. Trying to figure this out without, having big arguments or anything like that. But I'm not quite sure until, I guess, things are more clear through the court how to deal with him, day in and day out.
Do you feel unsafe? Is he abusive, physically?
He's verbally abusive and financially. Constantly threatening that, we're not going to have anywhere to live, and, just every day in front of the kids, making everyone upset. And my daughter, who's 15, has serious depression. He wants me to work, which I do, but it's very serious. She's doing online school, but he doesn't seem to understand. I absolutely do not mind going to work, but right now my daughter needs me to be with her under doctor care, so... It's just difficult.
So Christina, there's a lot going on here. How can we best be helpful to you?
I guess what I'm saying is how, in the meanwhile, do I deal with, his behavior and try not to disturb me and the kids so where it's, causing a lot of depression?
Well, so here's the thing. Depression... certainly isn't helped by a stressful environment, right? But depression is ultimately caused by anger being turned inward. That's kind of the classic definition of what depression is. I'm angry and I don't have a healthy way to express that anger and know how to get the things that I'm angry about resolved, right? And ironically, tiptoeing around your husband really reinforces that, right? Because I'm guessing that one of the things she's probably angry about is the way he is, and not having any healthy way to deal with him in a more direct manner, in a more assertive manner. And so, in part at least, and again, I don't know the whole picture here, so I'm sure there's a lot of other things going on, but in part at least, based on what you're sharing, you've got a household that's really reinforced the idea that the best way to deal with a hostile, angry person is to just shut down and to try to not deal with it directly. And that, if not cause depression, will certainly reinforce it. And so the reason I'm sharing this with you is because it's going to be important for you to learn to more effectively stand up to your husband. I don't mean argue with him. What I mean is, if he's behaving in an abusive, controlling manner, your job is to be that prophetic woman of God who stands up to him and says, I'm sorry that you're angry. I'm sorry that you're hurting. I'm sorry you don't know what to do about it. But what you cannot do is speak to us this way. What you cannot do is threaten and abuse us. Please calm down or go away. But you cannot speak to us like this. And especially if he's talking to the kids that way. I understand that you are their father, and I want you to be a good father. That is not the way a good father behaves. I need you to get control of yourself or go away. And that will provoke him. He'll get angrier, and he'll rage at you, at which point you just use the broken record technique. You're not saying anything new. I'm sorry that you feel that way. This is not the way to behave, no matter how angry you are. You may not treat us like this. If there's something you need to talk through with me, I'm happy to discuss it with you. Not like this. You can either treat us with respect, or you can go away until you can treat us with respect. But I am not tolerating this behavior from you. I'm not tolerating this treatment for myself. And I'm certainly not tolerating this treatment toward our children. I will help you have any conversation that you want. I will help you solve any problem that we need to solve, as long as you can approach me and the kids respectfully. If you're going to do this, you can do it by yourself. That's what you need to do. Because that's what your daughter needs to see you doing. She needs to see that a woman has the ability to stand up in a loving, direct way, in a prophetic way, to this kind of treatment. Now, again, if you feel physically threatened by this man, don't do this. But you didn't say that he's physical in any way. He makes a lot of bluster, and he makes a lot of threats, which is scary enough. But even in the face of that, it's important to not give in, because that's what the loving thing to do is. Being loving means being your best self and doing what you reasonably can to bring out the best in another person, which at least means extending the invitation, which at the very least means not letting somebody act like a jerk. And so in this situation, both you and your daughter need to see how to respectfully stand up to someone. It's easy for me to say this. It's another thing to actually do it, and that's why I'm going to really encourage you, if you have not done so yet, to be getting some help for yourself to learn how to model effective engagement with this kind of behavior without creating drama. When I say not creating drama, I mean without you getting sucked in and starting to fight with him.
Yeah.
Right? Because doing what I'm suggesting is very different from arguing with him. You're setting a boundary with when I'm doing this, I'm setting a boundary with him. I'm not doing what you probably usually do, try to convince him to not be that way or get sucked into the drama about it, which creates even more crazy. And so when that happens, your daughter sees there are two options. I can either shut down or I can go crazy. And I don't want to go crazy, so I'd rather shut down. And then she gets more depressed. So you need to be able to model a healthy and direct way to set boundaries that doesn't cause you to contribute to the drama, but rather lets the drama all rest in your husband. And the more he does that, the more he's going to see that he needs help. Whether he recognizes that in time or not, I don't know. But that's what these kind of boundaries will do. If you need support in making this happen in your relationship, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can help you find faithful ways to respond to these difficulties so that you can claim that prophetic mantle and be that beloved daughter of God who is standing up for what is right and what is good in this family, and being that strong model to your children as well. Thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, I do hope that you'd reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But this is really the direction to go in, because again, to love somebody does not mean to just tiptoe around them, does not mean to try to not rock the boat. That's not loving. That's enabling. That's being codependent. And grace cannot cooperate with codependence or disorder or dysfunction. We can only cooperate with grace by asking God to help us be our best selves and do what we reasonably can to invite the other person to be their best selves too. Thank you so much for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, again, CatholicCounselors.com. Love is sometimes hard, but when we can see the difference between sentiment, which just focuses on how can I not rock the boat, versus love, which is how can I be my best and reasonably invite the other person to be their best self too, it really snaps into focus what we need to say and do. Now, sometimes it's hard to do that, even when we know what it is. And if that's the case, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We want to help you find faithful ways to respond to all the challenging relationships in your life and transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. And thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.